Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this live mock on a lovely Tuesday morning, October the 3rd, 3 weeks from the start of the NBA season. 3 weeks. Get your leagues in gear, man. This is go time. One day from the release of the Brewski 150. That's coming out for Ethos 360 subs tomorrow. Holy crap, Alino. Announced this mock draft on Twitter, so we got 12 out of 12, baby. I'm going to try to go all the way through on this one unless people start wimping out partway through. Some of you that are watching the show are in the mock draft, which makes it a little bit crummy because then people are going to be stealing the guys in my queue. I will probably talk about my thought process after the picks, if at all possible. I saw it last time you guys were looking at my queue and people were taking my picks, which is crummy because we all want to find out if certain guys are going to get to certain spots. And if everybody's taking the guys out of my queue, you're just messing with me at that point, which is funny. I'll give you that. It's a good troll job, but it doesn't actually teach us what we want to know. I am at Dan Bespris over on Twitter, at DanBesBris. Please like and subscribe. It's been a really fun run-up here. Our last mock draft was, a lot of people watched that one. That was pretty cool, actually. I think it's almost at 3,000 now, which is wild, considering we really have only been investing time into this YouTube page for like 10 months. You know, we had our trade deadline shows way back, and I used to just port my audio podcast onto YouTube, but nobody really wanted that. That's bad. That's bad TV. Nikola Jokic, Tyrese Haliburton goes second in this one over Doncic and Embiid, who go 3 and 4, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes 5. Am I partially responsible for the Tyrese Haliburton hype? Possibly. I like Haliburton a lot. I don't think that I'm taking him second over Embiid. Jason Tatum after Steph Curry. Curry goes 6, Tatum goes 7, which leaves us the usual unpleasantness at 8. And lately, I think the move here is probably Dame, because he's going to play a bunch of ball games. He's as good as or better than the other guys on the board right now. I'm not doing Kyrie at 8. He's one that I'd like to see fall. I'm not going Giannis because I'm not punting free throws. I don't really want to do that. I'm not going LaMelo Ball because, like, he's a lot like Dame but with bigger issues. I'm not going Durant or Anthony Davis at 8 because the whole allure of those guys is being able to get him a little bit later. And then you're moving into the next chunk of players, at least in terms of, like, per-game ability. So I went Dame at 8. In the words of, I can't remember, do you guys, I don't know if you guys watching this watch Big Mouth. I guess it's over now, I think, but that was a fun one. The old decrepit hormone monster, I forget his name, but he talked like this. Sometimes I get to this point in life where all I want to do is throw my arms up and go, what are you going to do, man? Anyway, LaMelo Ball goes 9, Kyrie Irving goes 10, Giannis 11, which is actually a pretty good spot to get Giannis. Durant 12, paired with Domantas Sabonis, so you take a risk, then you try to pair him up with somebody who's likely going to be on the floor. Anthony Davis paired with Giannis, that's a hell of a punt free throw start for the team in the 11 hole. Oh, that's Brandon. What's up, dude? Booker goes 15, JJJ 16, and now it's on me. I'm taking best available here. I like Anthony Edwards for the durability, but I think in terms of a per-game attack mode, and with Dame as my first overall pick, it's got to come down to one of the guards here, in Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young. Do I want the assists more, or do I want the defensive stats and other stuff more? I'll go Trae for the durability in a head-to-head league, and I'll probably just lean into a punt. Oh, I got auto-draft turned on because I let the clock run down each time. I think if this was Roto, there's no chance I'm going Trae Young there. If it's Roto, I'm either going Donovan Mitchell or Mikal Bridges. But I got Dame, and so I figure I'll just pile on top of what he's already good at in this one. We're going to lean hard into it. By selecting Trae Young, I've probably put myself into a punt field goal build. I don't have to because there are a lot of really good centers late, but it seems a little silly to mute a lot of my big strengths right now, which is going to be scoring, obviously. Free throw percent is actually going to be so good with these two guys that, you know, we talked about it with Josh on yesterday's show, how, like, if you're going to build up a Z-score advantage, it has to be a huge one. And Dame and Trae Young together is a huge one. Dame was the second most positive foul shooter in the NBA from a weighted volume, and Trae Young was, like, number four. So I'm golden there. I'm pretty damn good in assists. I could use a boost in steals is sort of the guard stat that is not fully shored up here. But let me give you the draft board. You guys can see what's been going on since the last pick. Donovan Mitchell went right after me. Perfectly reasonable. That's the other guy that I was looking at. Then Ant. LeBron James goes at 20. Pretty early for him, especially in head-to-head where you're going to need those games played, although if you're in an IL Plus league, maybe you can stash him there. Yahoo public leagues are IL regular. At least they were last year, unless they changed it. Bridges at 21. I like that one. Harden at 22. Maybe a little early given, like, he's a season detonator right now. Kawhi's saying all the right things. He goes at 23. I like him at the end of the second, beginning of third in almost any format right now. Then Desmond Bane at 24. Jimmy Butler at 25. DeJounte Murray at 26. And Carl Anthony Towns goes off the board at 27. You guys getting a good look at this on your screen, so that's solid. Welcome. This is a well-attended mock draft right now. Usually we don't have this many people in this quickly. I'm being reminded that I forgot to actually put the board up on the screen. It's in the studio right now. Oops. What a dummy. Bam Adebayo goes at 28. So there you go. You guys can see the board now. It's everything I've been telling you, so don't worry too much. It's honestly, it probably protected some of the stuff that I was looking at from the other people in the mock with me that are also watching the show live. Whoopsies. Maybe I need to get a little more rest. Cade Cunningham goes after Bam. It's almost back to me, so I'm going to have to flip it back to the players that are still available. That is one of the things that's kind of hard about running a mock while also talking about it. But I have these strengths, obviously. And with the third pick, you're still basically looking at the best overall. But now you want to make sure that you don't sacrifice any of the things that you're already good at. So I got to make sure that steals gets locked in, because if I'm going to do kind of a guard-heavy build, steals are going to be a really big deal. Threes are in good shape. Scoring's in a good shape right now, but you don't want to sacrifice that either. And eventually, you're going to have to shore up something else. So what's the hard thing going to be? Well, Miles Turner got taken off the board because he was going to be the guy that I looked at there. The hard thing is going to be either blocks or rebounds or something in that department. And I've talked my way all the way through this. At this point, at 32, I had zero inclination to draft Freddie VanVleet in this. But at 32, I'm kind of forced to. And now I have the steals locked up as well. So guard stats are very well in hand at this point. We'll turn auto draft on and back off again so it doesn't push me back into it. Darius Garland goes at 33. Victor Wembanyama at 34. De'Aaron Fox at 35. I feel really good about like four categories right now, but I also feel very bad about a handful of others. And I kind of talked my way through this. The problem with not loading a queue and yammering about a mock draft for a while is that you're going to end up making some picks at the very end of the clock. There goes Jalen Brunson to finish off the third round. I'm going to have no choice, maybe not in the fourth round, but the fifth and sixth, but to look at shot blocking, because rebounding is pretty much cooked. Shot blocking, at least you can come roaring back in. Or do I just go basically like a punt bigs mode? The problem with that is if you lose anything, if your guys have a bad free throw week or whatever, you're in brutal, brutal shape. But I'm in very good shape for threes, free throw percent, points, and assists, and I'll probably get pretty good in steals by the time this is done. The question is there someone out there that can get me that extra, that sixth category that I really need to be good in? And it's probably time to take a little bit of a shot. That guy is Kristaps Porzingis, who can give you a nice bunch of shot blocking. Normally, I'd probably take someone like a Jordan Poole, or frankly, it'd be DeMar DeRozan here under a lot of circumstances. Or do I go Chet Holmgren and flip it? No, we'll probably go Porzingis. He's the safer play there as we let the clock run down. KP at 41 is a perfectly reasonable spot as well. Continues to lean into scoring and free throws and like the things that my team is already good at. Probably could have gone Paul George there at 41 as also a risk. There he goes at 43 after DeMar DeRozan because that would have been another steals bump. But PG, yeah, I mean, I'll just have to worry a tiny bit about steals towards the end because the guys I have right now, I have one very good one, but probably not enough overall. And frankly, if I hadn't sort of talked my way through another pick, I probably just need to shut up at my next one and actually just take the guy that makes the most sense. Mid-show reminder, please like and subscribe. A lot of you have tuned in here in the early going on this mock draft, and hopefully more of you will find it. Also, by the way, if you have questions, throw them into the chat room. We'll try to blitz through those towards the end of the end of the show. What do we got going on here? So PG, then Jordan Poole, Jamal Murray, Julius Randle, Nikola Vucevic, Zach LaVine finishes off the fourth round. Then you got Maxey and Kessler to start off the fifth. And I like a lot of those guys. I mean, if I was doing this all over again, I'd probably go Paul George with my pick in the fourth round. And then probably Porzingis, Poole, Zach LaVine, and Maxey were all also there. Oh, Bradley Beal didn't make it back to me. That's unfortunate. He's the guy you're looking at here. Another thing to consider in the build that I'm in is, do I want to continue to try to take care of blocks, if possible? OG Anunoby and DeAndre Ayton are now off the board. Chet Holmgren goes at 54. That would have been the other guy that you could have taken there, who's not going to damage the free throw advantage I have now, but also could have helped out in blocks a little bit. So we'll probably go a different direction at this point. Jalen Williams is interesting to me because of the big, big steals numbers. Kind of want to make sure that we get those locked in here. Helps with threes. Scoring won't be that powerful for him, but we obviously have assists in pretty damn good shape. Porzingis was a weird one, looking back at it. Scotty Barnes doesn't make a whole lot of sense for this team build. Neither do the bad free throw shooting big men here, especially if we're probably punting rebounds. So Jalen Williams does make sense. At that, if you're not going that direction, you're probably going pretty far down the board. And so I'm just going to assume that the other guys I'm looking at, who I will not speak of right now, will be there, or some one of them will be there when it gets back to me in about 9 picks. We shall see. Porzingis was a bad one, though. Looking back on that, that was too early. I didn't need to take that there. I could have waited, and well, obviously Chet didn't get back to me, but I think once I had those first 3 picks, it probably was time to just go into a punt bigs build, and maybe you catch field goal percent on a random week, or you're not going to win rebounds with this club, especially not with Porzingis. But now, like, the 6th category I could try to attack would be blocks. And that's not out of the question. There are still some blocks guys out on the board. You know, if you're curious who it is, you just sort by projection numbers here. Not that Yahoo's projections are going to be on the money or anything, but, you know, you can get an idea at the very least. Here's the board again, just quickly before it comes back to me. I went Claxton, Şengün, Jared Allen, 3 centers right after my Jalen Williams pick. Scotty Barnes finished off the 5th round. Whoop, zooming back my way. Then Josh Giddey, Anfernee Simons, and Devin Vassell, who just signed that big contract with the extension with the San Antonio Spurs. So I have some choices here. If I want to continue to lean into some of the strengths a little bit more, you've got guys like Cam Johnson. If there's any trust in Chris Middleton, he's also on the board. Tyler Hero kind of leans into the strengths already. Brolo is out there if you wanted to go the blocks route, and that's probably where I'm going because, you know, I want another blocks guy who's not going to damage the stuff that I'm trying to build up, and Brook Lopez is that guy. He's not my favorite player on the board, but he's kind of the one that I almost feel like I need in this team build to make my team halfway decent in blocks. while not sacrificing my advantage in threes, my advantage in free throw percent. Because those are the things you worry about when you're drafting a big man. Are they going to hurt me in the stuff, in those two things where I'm already very good? So now I've got two guys that can block shots. Jalen Williams will probably get a handful over the course of the year. Freddie VanVleet actually does block a few shots. It's weird, but he's at 0.6. Dame doesn't at 0.3, and Trae Young very much doesn't. So it's not like that category is going to be great. But Porzingis was at 1.5. Brook Lopez was at 2.5. Between those two guys, I'm going to win it sometimes. That's what you want. You want a sixth or maybe sometimes even a seventh category that you're going to win sometimes. And turnovers all win sometimes just based on like what players are healthy or upright or have a four-game week. Right now, rebounds, I got no prayer. That's cooked. Field goal percent is likely cooked also. Maybe not totally dead, but Trae Young and Dame and Freddie VanVleet at the front end, you're basically dead. So field goal percent is dead. Rebounds are dead. I'm basically full punt in two things. Turnovers is kind of an ignore, so I'll probably win it, I don't know, 20-30% of the time, something like that. Blocks, I'm trying to get to 50-50. And then the other five, I feel like I want to win every single time. So at this point, I'm now looking to dive hard into the things that I feel like I need to win. So scoring, I've got to make sure that the scoring is there because Brook Lopez is a low-scoring dude. And VanVleet is not that high-scoring of a guy to get in the, when did I get him, like late third round. Trae and Dame are going to score a bunch. Porzingis will be okay in that department. Jalen Williams is kind of a, do we really know for sure? So that's what I'm looking at coming up into this next round. And luckily, my team is so good in free throw percent that if I need to take a scorer who's like high 70s at the foul line, it's very much not the end of the world. And you can kind of go by the projections for Yahoo as well. Just to like a quick glance, who are the guys that they think are going to take a bunch of shots? Middleton, Jalen Green, who again, if you're punting free throw or punting field goal, he hurts you way, way less. Got to make sure I get some steals out of it as well, though. Tyus Jones is actually very interesting to me here. I don't think he's going to score a ton, but he does fit some of the other stuff. You're looking down the board farther. I'm probably not going Kuzma. Both of his percentages are kind of too rough, but he's going to score a bunch. I don't think this projection on Buddy Hield is anywhere close to right, but Clay is going to score. So that's the direction you're looking at here. You're looking at see if you can find maybe a volume guy a little bit late in the draft. Do I trust Chris Middleton is probably at the top of that board. Not that much. Couple of the guys that we could have considered are off the table now. Tobias Harris is intriguing also. He's going to be forced to score, but he's probably not the direction I go with this pick. Oh, Middleton at 80. Is there any reason to go that direction? Yeah, I mean, he's probably, but now I have Dame and Middleton on the same team. Jalen Green, MPJ, not really. I mean, CJ McCollum is not dead to rights. I think we'll probably go Middleton and just take a little bit of a shot there. Not my favorite play, but it is time to lean into this weird build I've created. Someone in the chat room, Chris saying rebounds don't have to be dead. Yeah, I'm not going to take those guys that are good rebounders left because they punch a hole in free throw percent, which at this point, it has to be. The best I think I could do would be to get back rebounds to like a 20-30% win probability because my first few guys have none. And so there's kind of no point in just dodging the stuff that I'm already really good at. Scoot was not a bad call, by the way, at 82. You know, this is the time to start thinking about taking shots. I went Middleton, which is the opposite of taking a shot. There's the board, by the way. I'll go back and we'll rehash some of the players that got drafted after. I don't talk about anything since Brook Lopez back in the sixth round. I was just trying to explain this very weird build that I've created, which you don't have to do, but I mean, once Freddie VanVleet was still there late third round, it was sort of, I kind of felt like I did have to do it. As far as scoring goes, you've got some Warriors that are still on the board here that are intriguing. You're going to want the ones that are getting steals because that's still a thing that's a bit problematic for my team. There are some guys farther down that I'm eyeballing for that category. I'm hoping they're going to make it back to me, though. I want to make sure that I get the guys that are going to score more at this juncture. There goes Buddy Hield. Klay Thompson is not a steals guy. Wiggins is a little bit more. Those are the two names. And then, you know, if you're stashing Ja, I don't know that his free throw percent or his free throw situation would be bad enough to bring me down. This is probably the time that this team could really use a Ja Morant. You know, punt bigs build. Once he gets in there, he's going to be doing all kinds of stuff. So we'll go stash. It's trouble. It's a risk, but I have faith that one or two of the guys that I'm looking at will still be there in the 9th and 10th round. We'll see if that comes true. Going all the way back, by the way, to the 6th round, for those that are just listening in, before my Brook Lopez pick, Zion went after Devin Vassell. Then after Brook Lopez, and I'll read them off to you in order here, it went Derek White, Rudy Gobert, Jakob Poeltl, Tyler Hero, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and Cam Johnson. That finishes off the 6th round. 7th round was Jeremy Grant, Mitch Robinson, Terry Rozier, Tyus Jones, Clint Capella, Chris Paul, Markel Fultz. That led up to my Chris Middleton, kind of weird pick. CJ McCollum was another one I was looking at, and then Scoot after him. Draymond Green, despite his injury, going at the 11th pick of the 7th round. Then Jalen Green finishing off the 7th round before Mark Williams and Jalen Duren. So there's your last, like, sort of, well, there's one or two more centers left after those guys. But those were, you're getting down to the nubs now. Kyle Kuzma and Buddy Hield before my Ja Morant stash. And after my Ja Morant pick, you've got Daniel Gafford, Trey Jones, D'Angelo Russell, Tobias Harris, Wendell Carter Jr., and Spencer Dinwiddie. And now Marcus Smart and Klay Thompson. So a couple of the players that I had floated are off the board. There goes John Collins. My pick is coming up now. I'm not too far away. There are a few things here, a few names that are still intriguing in the particular build I've created. So it's going to come down to, first, whether or not they get back to me, and second, whether or not, what order I want these guys to, when I want to consider them. I do still think that there is a possible steals issue for the five categories I want to win. Once Ja gets back, I think that really basically does take care of the points. I'm not as concerned about that one anymore. The fact that my bigs are hitting three-pointers covers up any possible downturn there. But now it's back to me. And so the question is, what do I feel like I need the most? And it's steals. That, to me, is the category that's the most in jeopardy of the five I must win. And we'll go D'Anthony Melton, because of the players left on the board, to me, he's the one that's likely the single best in that category. That actually might do some other stuff. So Herb Jones probably gets the honorable mention there. But that's the guy that to me, shores up a category that I must win in this build. Must. I haven't done anything else with blocks after sort of my top two blocks guys. So might be considered thinking about someone in that neighborhood. Yahoo is for some reason not putting Porzingis in my other center slot, but I do, and Middleton in my other power forward, and Jalen Williams would be the small forward. So I don't actually have the position issue that it looks like it does on the screen right now. That's just Yahoo being extremely weird. Let's see. What do we got left here? I'll tell you what happened after my Melton pick in a minute. Jordan Clarkson off the board was a guy that I was definitely looking at as sort of a high-scoring, the volume guy at this juncture. Obi Toppin goes next. Andrew Wiggins is still out there. I mean, he almost has to go at this point. He was quite good before all the family stuff last year. He's going to score. I'm not at all worried about free throw percent. I know Ja is going to bring it down a little bit, but everybody else on my team is a behemoth there. So I'm going to take the points. I'll take the steals with Wiggins, which I think will be better than the 77 they give him. And so let's just go for some points at this point. Let's go for a guy that's going to be involved in his team's offense. Maybe arguably the most of anybody left on the board, except for perhaps RJ Barrett. But I don't want everything else that RJ brings with him. And then you got all these other guys. And even the Yahoo projections are kind of telling us, like, there aren't that many guys left that are going to actually go try to get you some buckets. I can see multiple of you, by the way, in the chat room talking about the picks you're making in this draft. This is why I'm trying not to say what I'm doing specifically, and I haven't loaded anybody into a queue. This is a really hard way to mock, to not only talk about what you're doing late, to give what everybody else's picks are, and also try to figure out where all the guys you were looking at are on the board without putting them in the queue. I'm struggling a tiny bit on that front. Anyway, hey, after D'Anthony Melton, before D'Anthony Melton, actually, I only got as far as Klay Thompson starting the ninth round. After Klay was John Collins, Jabari Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, and Aaron Gordon. Michael Porter Jr. at the 9.5 mark. Okongwu, and then my Melton. My Melton should be the name of my team. Mike Conley goes right after that. It's a little bit of a weird one in a head-to-head league. Then Reeves, Bruce Brown, and Time Lord, who I have almost no faith in Portland. Zach Collins starts the 10th round, then Ben Simmons, Jordan Clarkson, Obi Toppin, and my Andrew Wiggins pick. JV goes after that. I can't do the JV thing. There's like no upside there unless the whole team gets hurt. Nurk goes right after Valanciunas. Benedict Mathurin at 10-8. Then Portis, Keldon Johnson, Caleb Martin, and Keegan Murray finishing off the 10th round. In the 11th so far, we've got Gary Trent Jr., Bol Bol, and Josh Hart. The one nice thing, I'll give it this, and for Roto, I don't do punt stuff, but the one nice thing about a punt build is that when you get to the end of the board like this, you're looking at four different things than anybody who's not doing the same punt as you. Most folks are just looking for whoever they think is going to have the best season, and that's fine and all, but there are guys right now that are going to do exactly the things that I feel my team needs, and maybe other teams aren't even looking for players like that. That said, most of the guys still on the board are kind of clunky. And so you're taking some shots in this mix. But you're often looking for young guys. You're looking for guys that will have sort of volume on their side at times. You probably don't need to scroll too far down the board to get to people that Yahoo thinks are going to actually go out there and score some buckets. No, I can't do Russ. Now that I have Wiggins and Ja stashed, that's enough of a ding on a very strong free throw percent. We don't know where Malcolm Brogdon's going to end up, but loading up on point guards here at the end is not a bad decision. Trey Murphy the third goes, so there's the other sort of early season stash guy. To me, this is a spot where my team kind of is who they is, and you're probably going Colin Sexton once again to rack up points. Free throw percent gives a little bit of a positive there. The steals thing is questionable. I'm hoping Melton can kind of take care of that. But I want to make sure that I win the guard stuff. Steals are fluctuating. I probably don't have a big enough advantage in that to count on it week to week. I guess the hope then is if I lose steals one week, I'll win blocks, basically. But the other guard stuff is pretty well locked into place. Brogdon is somewhat intriguing because he also does that stuff, but maybe that's too much of it at this point. And so perhaps I should be looking for who's sort of the upside play. Quickly has some built-in upside. Believe it or not, Kyle Lowry actually has some upside, but he's not going to stay upright, so that's a problem. Josh Richardson is not completely dead in the water. Kelly Oubre is not totally dead in the water. If I wasn't punting bigs, I'd probably be looking at Christian Wood here. It's coming back to my turn as I try to talk through all the players on the board. They're all flying off. All of you guys get to load a queue. Why don't I get to load a queue? Right, I remember now. There isn't much going on down in this range as you keep scrolling. And frankly, 12th and 13th picks are probably going to be your streaming slots anyway. So don't worry too much about it at this point. PJ Washington is probably a half decent player for the build that I've created. You know, the like one block a game, big guy that hits three pointers, not a complete disaster at the foul line. So we'll go PJ here. I'll skip over Malcolm Brogdon. There goes Russ. I think there's probably something fun about being in a build where you can draft Russell Westbrook, but there are very few builds where that makes sense outside of points leagues. This pick doesn't matter. Also that. This one doesn't matter. Your 13th pick is almost never going to stay on your team. This is a streaming slot. So, interesting players. Quickly, I already mentioned that. If you think Norman Powell gets traded, he's intriguing. If Brogdon ends up in a spot where he gets to do more stuff, that's not completely dead to rights. Gordon Hayward, if you're looking at the Roto side of things, could he have a little bounce back? Lowry, if you just want to plug him in when he's healthy. Malik Monk is not awful for the team build I've got because he scores, hits threes, and he's very good at the free throw line. Like, Yahoo's projection of 81% at the foul line is likely not good enough for Monk. Cole Anthony in this particular build is also not totally dead, but probably not the direction I'm going. Bogdan is hurt too much for me to go down that route. Sadiq Bey, if you felt like you needed threes at this juncture, not going Quentin Grimes. Kelly Olynyk, kind of a do-a-bunch-of-stuff center who probably does actually get to play a little bit. And then Dylan Brooks, believe it or not, is not totally cooked in my team build. In a punt bigs build, he'll get you some steals, and he's going to shoot, frankly, more than he should. So he's not dead. That's one of those kinds of players where it's like, well, in this particular type of build, he's not totally dead to rights. Lou Dort is actually not that dissimilar, although Brooks is a better foul shooter by a little, kind of. Yahoo's got his three-pointers going way down for whatever reason. I can't explain why they think Dylan's just going to, like, not take threes in Houston this coming year. But they're going to play him, man. They paid him a bunch of money to play. And when he's on the floor, he's going to do the same crap he always does, which is take ill-advised shots. And for a fantasy team that's punting field goal, that's not that big of an issue. I'm going to throw up the draft board at this point. You guys can see a lot of the names that went out. For those that are listening live or listening after the fact, I guess I should say, I don't remember even where we left off. I think we left off at Ben Simmons. No, we left off at Bol Bol and Josh Hart. So Jaden McDaniels went 11th round, 4th pick, then Schroeder, Shaden Sharp, Trey Murphy, the stash, and then my Colin Sexton pick. Tari Eason in Houston, which Houston signed Reggie Bullock this morning. That's going to jam things up a tiny bit on the wing for them. Kevin Huerter, low upside kind of guy. Then Jaden Ivey. Oh, it's my pick. I actually am going to take Dylan Brooks, by the way, with this one. Ausar Thompson, Herb Jones, Christian Wood, Denny Avdia, Jared Vanderbilt, PJ Washington. That was mine in the 12th. Russ, Paul Reed, B-Ball Paul, Josh Richardson, Ivica Zubats, Bojan Bogdanovic, Lonzo Ball, Emmanuel Quickly finishes off the 12th round and speed blasting our way through this thing. Kevin Love, how about that? Starting off the 13th, Utah Watanabe, Patrick Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, Quentin Grimes, Steven Adams, Al Horford, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Miller, not a bad play. Amen Thompson in Houston, Kai in Slow-Mo, and the very last pick of this mock draft will be, we're waiting on Arda, Norm Powell. And that's your mock, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get over to the questions from the chat room. Got to do this one all the way to the finish. That's pretty cool. It only took like 32 minutes to do the mock draft. Brooks says, nice t-shirt. Yeah, this is my Maruchan Ramen shirt. Oh, what do we got here? Brandon says, I'm only taking Dan's least favorite guys. LeBron, Brandon Ingram, Pascal Siakam, and Paolo Banchero. Congratulations on your victory in the points league that you are in. This is when everybody realized that I had not put the mock draft window up, because I'm an idiot. Let's see. What else can we get here? In Roto, is Kawhi a good pick at pick 14? No. I think at 14, usually you have options of guys who are trying to... Well, I mean, I've still seen Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis on the board at 14. I think I'd rather have those guys over Kawhi. It's a little too early on that one. I seem to always get Kawhi, this is Andy, says, as my second pick if I'm starting at 2. I'm terrified of pairing him with Embiid due to durability. Yeah, and head-to-head, that's a rough one. Oh, boy. I mean, if they hit, you're going to be an unstoppable force, but they probably won't. So you might want to go with someone like a Desmond Bane if he's there, because there aren't that many durable guys that go at the end of the second round. I mean, I'll scroll the mock window back up to the guys that are going at the end of the second, which is like Harden, Kawhi, Bane, Butler, Kat, DeJounte Murray sometimes, and sometimes we even see LeBron go in that mix, but he went earlier in this one. Kat, DeJounte Murray, Bane are the three guys where you're kind of like, all right, maybe they're a little younger, there's a chance they'll make it through this thing. So if you have Embiid in the first in head-to-head, it's pretty tough to go Kawhi. Roto, do it. Roto, you don't have to worry about it as much. Brian says, I'm second on waivers. Bijan Gibbs. This is a football question, Brian. Brian, this is a basketball draft. I'm sorry, buddy. I don't know the first bleeping thing about the NFL. You are going to want to go ahead to Ethos Fantasy FB and follow some of those guys. By the way, please, folks, a reminder again to like and subscribe on this bad boy. It really does mean a lot. That last mock draft got so many likes and added so many subscriptions that I think it kind of got caught into a little bit of an algorithm. So if we could do that again on this one, again, like 10, 15% of you even, go hit the like button, and it changes everything for our website and the growth of these things. That's not right. This is when Chris said rebounds don't have to be dead. Yeah, that's true, but if I took those guys, then my big advantage in guard stats kind of goes to pot. I wasn't trying to build a team that was good in 8 or 9 categories here. I think you want to be great in 5, good in a 6th, and give yourself like a coin flip in a 7th. And anything better than that is terrific. Brooks says, I took Scoot. Yeah, Brooks, you're in this one. Where are you? Are you the one? Which one are you? Where was that pick? There's Scoot right there. So you're listed as Michael in the draft room. Let's see. What else we got in the chat room? Think about what can go right, not what can go wrong. Let's see. Why is Ingram better suited for points than head-to-head? I didn't say that. Ingram I don't like in any format because he's never upright. Ingram is not a points league guy. He's a good field goal and good free throw percent. He's actually worse in points leagues than in head-to-head. So if someone said he's better than in points leagues, they're playing in a very different format than I am. Points leagues usually ignore field goal, free throw, and turnovers. And Brandon Ingram, we can scroll down and see him here, was 48% from the field and 88% at the free throw line last year. And his turnovers were not great, but like better in 8 cat than 9, but also better in cat than points. That's just, yeah, that's whoever said that was incorrect. Air dunks. For pick 5 and 8 cat roto, I don't want to take Luka if the big 4 are off the board. Who do you pick? I thought Luka was part of the big 4. Especially an 8 cat. I probably do go Luka. I know it's hard to, but and then you just have to make sure you get a really good foul shooter in the second round. I'm not sure who the big 4 are. Is that Jokic, Embiid, Halliburton, and Shea? I'm not actually sure. I thought Luka was in the big 4. Middleton picked 76th and 9 cat head-to-head 16-teamer. Thoughts on him in a bounce-back year? I mean, he'll be better than last season, but he's way behind Dame and Giannis in the pecking order. And I only took him in this draft because I felt like he was going to be good at all the things that I wanted to continue to sort of flex on in this draft. But Middleton's not a guy I'm typically targeting. Jaywan, would you rather keep Jamal Murray for $8 or Brandon Ingram for $9? I'll go Jamal Murray for $8. I think he plays more games than Ingram. Team is clearly punting free throw percent, 3-point basically as well. Oh, you're talking about your team, Brandon? If you had to choose the other soft punt category, would it be assists or points? Basically, if you're punting free throw and threes, what's the one that you want to get to like that 50-50 marker? This is not my area of expertise. It's like the third punt, but obviously the things that are tied to a big man are the things you're going to be better at. So if you got players early that are not great in free throw percent, and I think this is in relation to, I don't know if this is in relation to like the players that Dan hates or your actual team, Brandon. Here, let's flip over to Brandon's team in this particular draft. Giannis, AD, De'Aaron Fox, Drew Holiday. Now, if you start with Giannis, I don't think you need to punt points because he scores a bunch. AD will score enough. And then Fox, like, your top three are not bad at scoring. So it probably is dependent a little bit on who your top three guys are in a punt three and free throw percent build. Because if you get Fox or, I mean, Giannis gets whatever it was last year. How many assists did Giannis get last season? It was like 5.5 or 6, something like that. So you're not dead to rights in assists or points. Anthony Davis, yeah, that hurts you in assists more than it hurts you in points. Now, Fox kind of helps you in points and also in assists a little bit. It really just has to do with guys that are there for you. But, yeah, you're going to want to attack one of those two categories, and then your third and fourth round picks are probably going to illustrate what is that third kind of weak category where you still want to be competitive in it. And I don't know that there's an obvious answer before you actually get to that pick. Hopefully that makes sense, even a little bit of a cop-out answer. Let's wrap this bad boy up. We're 40 minutes deep. Great mock draft, everybody. You guys got to see me screw around with a punt bigs build, basically. I am at Dan Bespris over on social media. That's on Twitter, DanBesBris. Hope you guys will find me over there. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and the Brewski 150 drops tomorrow. We're 15 hours away. That's in the Ethos 360 plan. Also, for those of you that have been hanging out, come join us in our Discord chat. That's a fun place to hang. I'm going to throw the link to that in the live chat room right now so you guys can just see that. Scroll on over there and click it if you want to join us in the Sports Ethos Discord. We'll have another show coming up later on today here on all of our channels, YouTube and the podcast, where I think it seemed like folks wanted me to actually talk about the Yahoo projections as opposed to just the pre-ranks. So that's something that we'll consider about. Last question here, sneaking it in under the wire from Chris C., for a nine-cat roto with only 8 teams, how many players should we draft to maximize the players as opposed to 13 picks for a standard 12 team? You got to go deeper, I would think, and then raise the game's cap so that you're using your bench. I think you could go 16 players deep in that draft and make the game's cap like 85 to 88 games per slot, so that way you're forcing... You're turning an 8-teamer into more like a 12-teamer is basically what you're doing by messing with those settings. Okay, I'll see you guys over on social media again. Like and subscribe on your way out, and I'll talk to you.